Hi, I'm Yaakov Katz, and welcome to a new episode of the Jewish People Policy Institute's Inside Analysis of the State of Affairs in Israel and the Jewish World. Today's episode, we're looking at the hot issue of the ultra-Orthodox draft. Will Haredim actually start to serve in the IDF in this post-October 7th world, or is this issue of religion and state going to be like so many before it and bring down the Netanyahu coalition? To get a read of this situation, I speak with Yair Ettinger, the religious affairs reporter for Kan, the Israeli public broadcaster, and the author of the great book Frayed on the National Religious Movement. I then speak to senior JPPI fellow Shmuel Rosner, who recently conducted an interesting poll into the way U.S. Jews are viewing the war between Israel and Hamas. Here we go. Yair Ettinger, it's great to have you on the JPPI podcast.
Hi, Yaakov. Thank you very much for having me.
So there's a lot going on. The Israeli political establishment is shaking right now because of the ultra-Orthodox draft law. So, I mean, if you could first explain to us, do you think, because the way I kind of see it is, listen, either Netanyahu somehow says, enough of my ultra-Orthodox partners, I'm passing the law that the state of Israel needs. Very unlikely that that's going to happen. The second option is that the ultra-Orthodox wake up and say, oh, we recognize that everything has now changed, and we now feel that we have to serve in the same way that everybody else serves. Unlikely that that's going to happen. And option three is that there is some compromise, or maybe there's an option four. So if you could walk us through what option three would look like. And also, is there some other option that I didn't just outline?
Yeah, so I think option three is focused on actually Gantz, Benny Gantz, and Gallant, the security minister, defense minister, and Benny Gantz, which is the head of Hamachaneh HaMamlechti, Netanyahu's ad hoc partner for this war. And Benny Gantz is very much interested in promoting or setting some kind of new arrangement with Haredim regarding the army, their army service, the military service. And Gallant last week surprised the political scene, saying that he's going to support the change in that field of Haredim and military only if Benny Gantz, the other partner, which is considered to be left of Netanyahu and most of his government, only if he can agree on this some kind of change. So I think a lot is happening there with between Gantz and Gallant, which they seem to be some kind of opposition within the coalition regarding the Haredim. And the major question is this going to be the political question, the question of the future of this government, not the war, not the judicial revolution, just the old question, very old question of Haredim and the army. Why do I say old question? Because this is a question. This is a tension within the Israeli society, within Israeli politics, that is set from it's from the 1948. It never went away, and from time to time it comes as a reason for a new earthquake in the Israeli politics, and maybe this is what's happening now. So the Zionist, more I would say, more centered political powers are at the focus right now.
But you know, I mean, what's amazing what you're saying also is that we had the greatest slaughter of Israelis in since the Holocaust, in this country's history, the greatest massacre. And that won't be what brings down the government. What will bring down the government is, like you said, the issue that's been accompanying Israel since for almost 76 years, which is, again, religion and state. We keep going back to the unsolved issues of religion and states in this country.
Right, right. I think, you know, we're dealing with politicians. So on one hand, all of the political powers, and I'm including Gantz, Gallant, Netanyahu, Yair Lapid, they are all depend very much on Haredi power, because this is the possibility to form a coalition depends on Haredim. So I think all of them are quite, maybe the same. They are all you know, moving around the same options of reform. On the other hand, this is the base of Israeli society, military service, being part of Israeli Jewish solidarity. The question is, where are you? Are you with the Zionist centered patriot coalition, or are you with the Haredim, which are not so much Zionist, not non-Zionist, actually? What kind of what is your politics, and what is your ideology? Where do you compromise on this hand, on this side, or the other side? And I think this is a major issue, because it's a matter of identity. Are you with, what's your identity? Is it Zionist? If you are right-wing politicians, do you support Haredim not going to the army? What do you suppose to do? And if you force or think that Haredim should go to the army, what does it mean? Are you against Limud Torah, studying Torah?
Right.
All of these questions are very much about identity.
So, before, I want to get to the identity question, because it also ties in, I think, to your book, which is Frayed, which is fantastic and really kind of looks at the national religious movement and their evolution over time. But just before that, you know, what's happening here is almost like the perfect storm. On the one hand, you have the need, there's a vacuum. There's no law, and the High Court of Justice is saying you have to pass a law. On the other hand, we're after October 7th, which should have been, like you said, this question of, are you with the majority of Israelis? Are you willing to serve, or are you not? So where are, like, you kind of have your finger on the pulse of the Haredim. Where are they? Do they not realize that something has changed? It's not the same arguments of the past. It's a new reality in the post-October 7th world.
So if you're looking at the history of non-recruitment of Haredim, so you see a few episodes, and it starts with David Ben-Gurion, and then with in 48, and then with Menachem Begin at 77, which really allowed much more Haredim to be not recruited to the army, even though the law says that everyone should go to the army. And then there is Netanyahu. I think Netanyahu episode or era is a new, it's a new game, because Haredim are very much in power. They are, it's their game. And also Haredim demographically, it's a totally different story. When Haredim is, you know, I don't know if you know that, but if you're looking at 18 years old, Jewish Israeli means people who have to go to the army. So we're looking today at 24% of 18 old men. Okay, so and in the time of Begin, it was 2%. So there is a very big drama going on right now regarding the not recruiting or non recruitment of Haredim to the army.
But they don't feel like, what did October 7th mean to them?
So I think for many Haredim, the sense is that they are in, first of all, they're in power. They're part of 64 coalition. And this privilege that been given to them by Ben-Gurion at the beginning and Begin and then Netanyahu is legitimate.
Because it comes with being in power. If you're in power, you could do what you want.
Right. And I think that, I mean, for your question, I think you have to separate between leadership and, you know, just people, private people in the Haredi community. So I think the leadership is very much in the sense of power. We are allowed to do that. You know, Goltnov, the head of Yehadut HaTorah, Agudat Yisrael, just said, let me rapo. It's nothing's wrong. We are, nothing happened in October 7th because we are still in power. The people of Israel gave us support. We're on. We're still on. Nothing changed.
Well, he also said, I didn't realize, you know, why is the government responsible for what happened on October 7th?
Right. And so this is Goldstone. This is the leadership. I also think that the rabbis, the spiritual leaders of Haredim, they are not changing anything about the way that they see their young people. I mean, their job is to just to study only Torah, only to study in yeshivot, and that is all. That's all they need. You see, you can hear in the fringes two Knesset members that said, okay, maybe people who do not go to really invest their 24 hours a day in learning, they may go. It may be legitimate to ask them to go to the army. But leadership, I think nothing really big, nothing happens, nothing dramatic. And I think also, if you're looking at the people, private people, you don't see, until now, serious movement. You see, in the beginning of the war, we saw a few thousands of people, few thousand men, asking the army, can they contribute? Can they go to the army for at least a short service for 10 days, 2 weeks, and then participating in reserve service? You see that for more older people, older Haredim, you see that. And for other people, for most of the Haredi population, we're talking about 1.3 million people of Israel. This is around 13%. I think what I see mainly is maybe some kind of embarrassment for some people, But for most of the people, they did not change their schedule. Life goes on.
There's two arguments that the Haredim often present when they say why they shouldn't serve. The first is Torah learning is just as important, right? And that they need to sit in yeshiva and study to keep us safe. And Gold Knopf, who you mentioned before, even said at some point, studying in yeshiva is harder than military service, as ridiculous as that sounds, but he said it. Number two, and I saw that this got you a little upset on Twitter, is somebody says, a prominent Haredi commentator made this argument, but they've been saying this for a long time, is that if you really want us, you have to create special tracks for us. You have to make it convenient and comfortable for us. And the fact is, the army doesn't really want us. So don't tell us you want to draft us. First, create those tracks, and then maybe we'll consider coming.
Yeah. So let me start with entering the mindset of many Haredi, okay, which is understandable. The Haredi field is, or Haredi is not only Haredim or ultra orthodoxy is not only ideology. The ideology, of course, as you say, is Torah is above everything else, and a young man should invest his time only in Torah. This is something, but there are other things. The question is, what is your relationship with the state of Israel? How do you see the state of Israel? How do you see the collective of Jewish people? And also, Haredim or Haredi education is very much like the Noah Ark. You protect your boy or your son or your older 20 years old. Okay, so and you don't want him to go to be spoiled or to be to go down spiritually with his contact with the outside world. And this is something that Haredim really fear of. And this is understandable because also in the Tilu Mi, society, there is also a fear that if you go to the army, you'll put down your kippah. The army is like the outside world. By the way, I think in Europe, in the last century, even before the war, there was also things like that, that Haredi or Orthodox families were very much afraid of the boy or their son going to the army. So this is understandable. But the thing is that the army, at some point, and it was in the late 90s, said to the Haredim, listen, we are aware of this fear, and therefore we are willing to invest many, many millions of shekels, many, many millions or many efforts and assets in order to provide this environment that will promise you that you'll enter Haredim and you'll get out of the army, the military Haredim as well. And it's, you know, for, I don't know, the army, it wasn't, it isn't perfect because they did not succeed. This kind of experience is not very much successful. But I don't think this is only because of the army. And what I also don't think, that this notion of please create this environment, this Haredi-friendly environment, this is not new. This has been going on for 25 years. There are many tracks for Haredim in order to invite them as Haredim.
So it's just an excuse not to serve. That's basically what it is.
That's what I think. And this is also some kind of also gaslighting. Why? Because it says, oh, you know what? Are you really liberal? Are you really willing to create this new alternative culture within your secular army? Are you willing to do that? Oh, you're not willing to do that means that it's not our fault. This is your fault. And this is something that it's not new. It's not new. I mean, this commentator, which is a friend of mine, it wasn't the first time that I heard this, this same kind of argument.
No, they've been saying it for years. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what, Yaakov, I think we will hear that more and more. And the problem is that the Israeli society right now is bleeding. Literally, it's bleeding. And this is really serious thing that's going on. People are really paying the highest price. And if you are stealing that, you know, game of what are you willing to do for me? This is not serious. This is not serious. It sounds like a blame game and not just, you know, you're not willing to do a really major, dramatic shift in your mindset. And this is, and I really am pessimistic because I think this is not the last time we hear that kind of argument.
On that note, Yair Ettinger, the religious affairs reporter for Khan 11 and the author of the great book Frayed, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast.
Thank you very much, Jacob.
So that was Yair Ettinger talking about just the latest, basically controversy, I would say, and what's going to happen with the Haredim and whether they're going to draft or they're not going to draft and how they're going to fight the current push, which is after October 7th, to get them into military service. We're now going to shift gears. I mean, first, Shmuel, I'd love to hear from you because I know that you're doing a lot of, you know, looking at this as well and kind of the polling on the ultra-Orthodox. And we at JPPI have done some polling that showed maybe in the beginning more of a feeling of solidarity, but that has kind of changed over time in the 5 months that have passed since the war. But then we're going to talk specifically more just about the recent results that you got on the U.S. Jewry polling and how they view the war. So give us first your just overall take of the whole Haredi situation at the moment.
Well, the Haredi situation, as Yair described, is quite complicated. There are political components that need to be dealt with. There is the very tight schedule under which the government is operating. They need to solve it by the end of March, or there is a real risk to the stability of the government. Many Israelis are going to be quite pleased if the government falls because of this situation. But obviously, for the prime minister and his ministers, this is not a scenario that they would like to see advanced. By and large, there are two issues here at stake. One is the issue of the need of Israel for more soldiers. Israel is in need of more soldiers, and hence the conversation about the Haredi draft is no longer about equal sharing of the burden. It is about saving lives. Sharing of the burden, that's a liberal concept that we all need to be equal, and the Haredis might not share this value as something that they appreciate. So when we approach them and say, well, we need to have similar contribution to society, they'll say, well, our contribution is to study Torah, and who is to say that this is not equal? What we have now is a situation that isn't about the balancing of different values. It is about saving lives. It is about the need for more bodies to serve and be put on the border to just be there with the rifles and guard us from our enemies. And this in some way changes the conversation. It's not about the ideal, it's about the need. And sadly, the I don't see the Haredi leaders accepting this new formulation or agreeing that the situation had changed in such dramatic way. But it is, if you look at the way Benny Gantz approaches this issue right now, he's no longer talking about, the need for all of us to do the same thing. He is actually talking about the need for us to guard our lives in the hope that some Haredi leaders or maybe their constituency will understand that this time it's not just a, philosophical debate about value of Torah versus value of serving the nation. It is something that is, quite tangible and quite necessary.
Would hope, but unfortunately, all indication is that those Haredi leaders are not to be found. And I also fear that, unfortunately, as much as I want to believe that Benny Gantz is coming at this with the right motivation, and I think he is, at the end of the day, Benny Gantz is the same guy who, back in 2019, I think it was, came up with the blank page or the blank slate, that I'll just give the Haredim a blank page. You will write down what you want. I'll tell you what I can give, and we'll reach some sort of agreement. He knows that he needs them for a future coalition as well. So in the end, he'll push them, but only to some extent, because he won't want to totally rip the cord, and that gives him the opportunity to one day form a coalition instead of Netanyahu.
That might be true, but you do need to take into account the fact that the voters who support Benny Gantz also changed their tune and their approach to this issue in the last couple of months.
So
if we were to look at Benny Gantz voters a year ago and a year and a half ago, many of them would say, well, let's try to find some kind of compromise. Let's hand the Haredis more carrots and less use of sticks. Many of them now feel that the urgency is such that the using of carrots and the waiting with the sticks is no longer a valid option. And they would, to some extent, they could pressure Benny Gantz to be somewhat more insistent in his negotiations with the leadership of the Haredi.
He might, Shmuel, but just knowing the guy a bit, and remember Yair Lapid, who did that and is still considered off limits very much to the Haredim, is the antithesis of what Benny Gantz wants to be. So I also think that he will be very, very careful and cautious not to go, that way. And I want to shift gears because I do want to get to the interesting poll because I think it'll be very interesting. But I'll just read what our mutual friend David Suisa just wrote, which is a coalition without Haredim is the only hope. Carrots never work with them. I'm afraid that David is actually right, but
He's right. We have 20 years experience of trying carrots with nothing to show for.
You're right. But the problem also is that the governments that we've had that were without Haredim never actually took the steps against the Haredim.
Right.
So you had that government, for example, back in 2013.
This is not the fault of the whole situation is not the fault of Haredis. The whole flawed structure that we see here is a structure designed and built by the state of Israel for the Haredis. This is a structure that we must deal with as a society, and we must find a way to dismantle it because Israel created something that is becoming quite disruptive and does not serve the best interests, neither of Israel nor, I would argue, of the Haredis themselves. But that's a topic that we can save.
This topic is going to be with us for a long time, Shmuel. Right, that I have no doubt about. Okay, but I want to get to the poll because I think this will be very interesting. So we recently at JPPI, we did a poll that was looking at, and we've been looking at this since the beginning of October, since October 7th in the war, to measure where do American Jews stand on their support of Israel, their support of the continuation of the war, and how the war has been going. So please share with us these results.
Right. And for those of our listeners who are actually also viewers, they can see some slides on screen, but I'll also try to describe what we discovered. We are using a panel of JPPI to which many thousands of American Jews are registered. And we are following the trends, trying to look at different groups with different definitions and to understand how they view the war in Israel, Israel itself, American policy, etc. It is an interesting day today to talk about American policy because of the meeting that is today or tonight between Minister Gantz, whom we already mentioned, and Vice President Kamala Harris in Washington. Vice President Harris had some harsh words for Israel just the other day, so we know that the friction between Israel and the Biden administration is growing. And here you can see something that is quite interesting. This is the difference between the results we had in January and February. Two polls, very similar people in many of the cases, the same people, and a growing sense among many American Jews that the U.S. isn't enough supportive of Israel. That we know that when the war started, the Biden administration was highly supportive of Israel. In many ways, it is still highly supportive of Israel. Even VP Harris, when she was speaking yesterday, she did say that the U.S. is on board with Israel in the sense that they see no future for Hamas as ruler of Gaza, which is the aim of Israel's war. And yet the growing friction between the two governments is showing. Israelis, by and large, feel it, and many of them are not as comfortable and not as pleased with the policies of the Biden administration.
So if I understand the results here is that as the tension grows between Jerusalem and Washington, American Jews feel that the Biden administration is not being supportive enough.
Is not being supportive enough. They right. don't say it's not supportive. It's not supportive enough. Mm-hmm. They would like it to be more supportive. Now, of course, we see the differences here between more liberal groups and more conservative groups. Among the strongly liberal, there is only a small fraction who say that the U.S. is not supportive enough of Israel. But you do see that those who lean liberal and the centrists, a growing share of them is feeling that the Biden administration moved from being highly supportive to being less supportive or less supportive that they would like it to be. And this is something that we see in the data, and it's pretty clear, and I think it's interesting. Here's one I skipped mistakenly. Again, this is something, you know, what we see here is in some way contrary to what we said about the US not being supportive enough. We see how the Biden administration and the growing criticism among American elites of Israel's conduct of the war is having impact on the way American Jews look at the war. There is a growing share of respondents who say that Israel's actions in Gaza are too aggressive. So if in November, of the strongly liberal Jews, only 27% said that Israel was too aggressive. Now it's 37% of our respondents. So it's a growing share of them. Of the leaning liberal, again, a growing share. Of the centrist, it is still a small share who hurl such criticism at Israel. Most American Jews do not think that Israel is being too aggressive, but we see that the growing criticism, again, among US elites, maybe European elites, maybe the administration itself, when American Jews hear the VP saying that Israel is putting obstacles before that are making aid, human aid to Gazans more difficult, it does have impact on the way that they view the war. And more of them tend to look at Israel and say, well, maybe Israel is overdoing something in Gaza. Two questions about the 2024 election cycle. We might have an election cycle in Israel later this year, but this is not yet determined. In the meantime, what we have is the election cycle between Joe Biden and Donald Trump. As we could have guessed, a vast number of American Jews are going to be supportive of Joe Biden in this election cycle. But when we ask them specifically about the relations between the US and Israel, which of the two candidates is going to be better for their relations, we see that at least among the strongly liberal, the leaning liberal, and the centrist Jews, which is a clear majority of all Jews, I'm talking about 70% of all Jews, they tend to think that their support is for Joe Biden is not just because they support him on other issues, whatever, abortion, the border, foreign policy in general, Ukraine. They also think that Joe Biden, even amid the friction between him and Prime Minister Netanyahu, even amid what we see in regards to the relations between the two governments right now, they believe that he will be the better president for U.S.-Israel relations.
But what we're not seeing, I mean, I see the breakdown, right? Strong liberal, centrist, of course, strong conservative, 90% prefer Trump. But right. We're not seeing, you know, we still don't know. We're still away from the election, but we're not seeing a major shift within American Jewish voting patterns, right?
I don't expect to
see. And you don't expect that. This war will not change that.
Right,
is it? But can I ask you something, Shmuel? Do you think, is it because of the candidates? In other words, if there was a different candidate instead of Trump, let's say, would you see more movement because of the war from the Democratic ticket to the Republican ticket, do you think?
Okay, so here I'll take you to the next slide and I'll try to answer your question with the next slide. Traditionally, we know from previous elections that Israel does not factor as a major issue that determines the way American Jews vote. In most cases, American Jews tend to think that both candidates or all candidates will be good enough on Israel, and hence they feel that they can vote on other issues. Israel, in most cases, ranks as issue number 7 or 8 or 9th or 10th among the many considerations that American Jews have as they go to vote. What we do see in this cycle, and we must be careful here because this goes against many of the polls that we've seen in past years, we do see that Israel factors in a more pronounced way, at least when we go to our panel, and this is a panel of somewhat more connected Jews, people who've been to Israel more than the average American Jew. And yet we do have many people who self-define as strong liberal and reform and Jews who are not connected and intermarried Jews, Jews who don't have the tendency to vote on Israel as a major issue. We do see that in this cycle, possibly because of the war, people tell us that Israel is going to be meaningful, more meaningful than the usual in the way they vote. Now, will this move them from a Biden vote to a Trump vote? I don't think that's the case. That's not the case because right now, most American Jews are convinced that Biden is a good friend to Israel. And many of them have fears concerning Donald Trump. Donald Trump was a great president for Israel. He had great relations with the Netanyahu government when he was president. But some of the statements that he'd made in recent years raise certain doubt on his plans for the future. So I think American Jews, and many Israelis as well, can still
are a bit apprehensive.
They can still say that, you know, the Biden we know, the friendly Biden we know, even if he became somewhat more critical or somewhat less supportive of the war effort, is still something that that we can securely prefer over the unknown of a Donald Trump. Then again, what I see in this slide, the tendency of so many American Jews to say Israel is going to be on our minds when we go to the polls next November, that's meaningful. And we are going to follow these findings because if what we see here is real, that's a change in the attitude and the behavior of American Jews.
Shmuel, Jamie Weinstein is asking, what's the sample size of Jewish people who were polled?
Oh, it's between 700 and 800 American Jews. This is not a I said it before, I'll emphasize it again. This is not a representative sample of all American Jews, but we do have meaningful groups of people of all denominations, all political leanings, people who've been to Israel and people who never visited Israel, people who are unmarried and intermarried, people who are well connected to the Jewish community and people who are quite detached from the Jewish community. And when we look at these groups separately and follow them month by month, we believe that the findings that we have do testify to something. Again, I'm not arguing that a vast majority of American Jews are going to vote on Israel, but I do say that we see more people than we've seen in the past willing to say that Israel will factor in when they go to the polls in November.
Thank you for joining us today. You can find all our episodes where you get your podcasts. Please share widely and give us a 5-star review. We will see you back here soon.